You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I swear to God, the San Antonio Spurs and Los Angeles Clippers are never going to lose another game as long as the Sacramento Kings have a chance to make the playoffs. Holy smokes. Bucks, help us out. Oklahoma City Thunder, give us something. Lakers, screw you. It does not matter what other teams do or who the Spurs or Clippers are facing. They're going to win, it seems like. The Spurs have won 5 straight. The Clippers have won 4 straight. They are now tied with the Utah Jazz, which means 6th, 7th, and 8th seeds are all 4 games out of reach for the Sacramento Kings in the 9th seed. Hello, everybody. Welcome into the Locked On Kings podcast. This is your hub for Sacramento Kings conversation, in-depth analysis, game-by-game breakdowns, highlights, interviews with other local and national experts. And this is where we come to complain when the Kings can't catch a break from anybody outside of Sacramento. Please, oh please, will someone lose or will someone beat the San Antonio Spurs? At this point, it looks like the Utah Jazz are the most likely team to fall out of it based off the fact that, I don't know, they've lost a game over the last couple of weeks. The Spurs are playing out of their minds. Don't bet against Greg Popovich, LaMarcus Aldridge, and that unit, that core, that franchise that has been the most consistent franchise in sports probably in history. I have a hard time seeing them falling out. The Los Angeles Clippers have swept the Kings, obviously, in 4 games. So we know that the Kings have no chance at a tiebreaker there. So really, there are actually 5 games back of the Clippers. The Kings do still have a game against the Utah Jazz in Utah. And the Kings have defeated the Utah Jazz before this season. So if they win again in Utah, which is happening, I believe, in early April or the end of March. I'm not entirely sure. They play one more time. If they beat them, then it would be 2-2, and I think the Kings would have the tiebreaker in that situation, but I'm not 100% sure on that. But either way, it's Spurs and Jazz that you're looking at most likely teams that the Kings can try and catch and steal the final spot in the playoffs from. But that requires them to lose. And these teams are taking on good, talented teams and winning consistently. The Milwaukee Bucks lost to the Spurs. Granted, they were on the second night of a back-to-back. The Spurs were rested. Certain situations have played out as they have. But the Spurs, they just keep on pushing, keep on grinding. It's going to be difficult for the Kings, but we knew that already. My name is Matt George. I have the privilege of being your host here on the Locked On Kings podcast. I'm from Sports 1140 KHDK. That's the flagship radio station of the Kings in Sacramento. I work there as an on-air host and a multimedia journalist and reporter. Today, we'll talk a little bit about the Spurs, the Clippers, the Jazz, and upcoming opponents. 2 big games in terms of that tonight as the Clippers are taking on the Celtics and the Jazz are taking on the Oklahoma City Thunder. Also, the Sacramento Kings beat the New York Knicks on Saturday, an early morning game. It was ugly at the start, good at the finish. The Kings got the win, which is all that matters. Discussing a little bit of free agency today. I know it's pretty far off. I know months separate us now from then, and certain situations determine how good of suitors the Kings will be for potential big-name free agents. But a lot of people are approaching me on social media and on email that listen to this podcast that are starting to ask me, wanting to start the conversation of, what names am I interested in? So rather than individually keeping responding to everybody, I'm just going to throw out some names and some stuff that I've said. Now, this is very early on. It's not very developed whatsoever. So it's probably going to change 100,000 times between now and the start of free agency this summer. But I'll be able to have a brief conversation about that. That will also include some words on DeMarcus Cousins, which I tweeted out something on Saturday mentioning DeMarcus Cousins that got everybody up in an uproar. So I'll discuss that. Finally, hopefully I'll have some news here at the end of the podcast on the Fans Only show that is coming up either this week, at the end of this week, or early next week. That's what you have to look forward to, so let's dive into it. The Los Angeles Clippers are hosting the Boston Celtics tonight. Do I think the Celtics should win this game? Yes. Do I think they will? No, because the Los Angeles Clippers just refuse to lose, especially on their home floor. And the Clippers are just a gritty, well-built team that quite frankly, should be a Boston team that wasn't all that impressive, even though they did defeat the Kings in Sacramento. Granted, that was on the second night of a back-to-back and without Kyrie Irving, but I like the Los Angeles Clippers' chances to win this game. But even so, if they lose, that's not the team that you want to really lose and not the team that you want to fall out. Now the Utah Jazz are, and they are hosting the Oklahoma City Thunder tonight. Now the Thunder are pretty confident in their position. They can rest assured that they will be making the playoffs. The question is for them, what seed will they be making it? So we're not entirely sure, at least for me, from my perspective, I'm not entirely sure how hungry they are four wins here at the end of the season. If the playoffs were to start tomorrow, as in today was the final day, the Oklahoma City Thunder would be the fourth seed, which means they would take on the Portland Trail Blazers in the opening round. Now, they are even with the Portland Trail Blazers at five games, so I'm sure they actually will be trying to gun for as many wins as possible through this final stretch so that they can secure home court advantage, at least in the opening round. So tonight, potentially a big game for them. They're also only 2.5 games above the Utah Jazz in sixth place, but OKC has dropped some questionable games recently, and I'm not too confident in their team as a whole. The Utah Jazz seem to be built well, at least defensively, to handle the attack of the Thunder. Russell Westbrook, we know he likes to get to the rim, and anytime you have Rudy Gobert prowling down there, it could be difficult for him. So I'm hoping the Thunder are going to win this game. If I had to put money on anybody, I'd put it on the Oklahoma City Thunder, but they couldn't get the job done against the Los Angeles Clippers, so it might not be a cakewalk for them, especially for the fact that they're playing in Utah, which is a very difficult place to play. Sacramento Kings coming off of a win against the New York Knicks. They were down by 15 points early, and I'm just going to say this, time frame absolutely plays a part in games. And if anybody wants to dismiss that with the, oh, well, they make this amount of money, they should be ready to play at all times, they don't work, their life is dedicated to basketball. Anytime you are used to playing at any time between 4 o'clock to 7:30 Pacific time consistently, playing at 9 o'clock in the morning your time, 12 o'clock in the morning or 12 o'clock in the afternoon, noon in New York, is a difficult thing, and it takes a while to wake up and get going, just like it takes a while for you to show up at work and get your cup of coffee and get everything situated before you start really diving in and being super productive. Same thing for athletes, and it was a rough start, to say the least, but ultimately the Kings got the win, and finally I got the game from De'Aaron Fox that I've been wanting to see for quite some time. 30 points, 8 assists, also had a steal. I don't care that it was against the New York Knicks. All I care about was De'Aaron Fox was the true leader. He stepped up in a major way, and the Kings absolutely needed to have this game. Like I've said, they need to win 3 out of 4 here on this road trip, and then they need to come home and probably win 3 out of 4 that they will have at home. I believe it's a 4-game homestand that they have when they come back. Looking it up right now for you. But ultimately, you need to do better than going 500 here over these stretches. You need to be basically above 500 in every single series that you have through the remainder of this season. So they will return home for 4 straight. That is correct. So the Kings are going to need to find a way to win 3 out of 4 here on the road, and then if they can win all 4 at home, that would be great, but 3 out of 4 at home would be fantastic as well. You need to go 6-2 over this next 8-game stretch, and getting the 1-0 start by beating the New York Knicks was good. If they had lost that game to the New York Knicks, I would have been confident here, and I would have been coming on the air today and saying, you know what, this season's over. It's done. They're still playing and trying to break those win totals and make it 500 for the season, which is fantastic, but their chance at the playoffs would have been kaput if they lost this game to the New York Knicks. But they're still in it. They're hanging out. They're staying alive. Now, they could certainly use some help from, I don't know, the Oklahoma City Thunder tonight, or maybe the who's the other team the Clippers are playing? I'm totally blanking. They can use some help tonight overall. They're going to need to get some kind of love from outside of their control. Now, they can keep themselves in it as much as possible by continuing to win games, but it's going to require some losses and some slips from one of those three teams that I listed in the Spurs, the Thunder, or the Clippers. Buddy Hield had 19 points in the win in New York, although he took 22 shots to do it. It wasn't a very efficient shooting night for him. Nemanja Bjelica had 13 points on 13 shots off the bench, along with 10 rebounds. So it's good to see him getting more and more comfortable in that role off the bench, because the Sacramento Kings can certainly use his production. Remember how important he was offensively to this team, spacing the floor going forward. And just because he's dropped off and had a slump since that very hot start doesn't mean he's not going to be useful for this team going forward. Nemanja Bjelica could be a massive weapon off that Kings bench, and especially with the fact that Marvin Bagley is still out and he should be getting reevaluated sometime later on this week, which would be a good thing if that evaluation comes back, everything is as normal, and he's able to return for the end of the road trip or for the start of the homestand. That would certainly be something to celebrate here in Sacramento. But in the meantime, getting production out of Nemanja Bjelica off the bench, he played 28 minutes off the bench, is something that this team desperately, desperately needs. They also got 11 points from Harrison Barnes, 8 rebounds as well. Willie Cauley-Stein only 7 points, but did pull down 12 boards, and that was against DeAndre Jordan, who didn't dominate. He did get a double-double, 14 points, 15 rebounds. But remember, when Willie Cauley-Stein matched up with DeAndre Jordan and the Mavericks earlier on this season, DeAndre Jordan absolutely abused him, just abused him. So it was good to see Willie. I mean, it's kind of sad that I'm coming on here saying it's good and we're celebrating that Willie is not getting abused by DeAndre Jordan, but that really is the case. It was good that he was not abused by any means. Both teams shot 37%, so it was an ugly game overall. Thankfully, the Kings ended up getting the win. Wanted to comment on one thing, too. Did you see this? The New York Knicks owner was on his way out, and a New York Knicks fan yelled at him to sell the team after the Knicks lost to the Kings, and then he pulled the fan aside and actually banned him from the building or kicked him out of Madison Square Garden and said he couldn't come back and to watch the games at home. What ridiculousness is that? Blatant abuse of power for a fan just yelling at him, and nothing egregious, nothing threatening, nothing no profanity in it. He just yelled at him and said, you know what, sell the team, because obviously the team's bad and you're probably one of the main reasons why it's bad, and it's been bad consistently over your tenure as an owner. So that's ridiculous, and I hope these are situations where the NBA does and should step in and say, no, you can't do that. That's an abuse of power. You're taking business away. There aren't too many fans showing up at the Garden to watch you anyway. Banning some because they yelled at you and were mean to you or told you to sell the team is certainly not a good enough reason for us. But the Kings get the win in New York, and now it's on to Washington. Well, they take on the Wizards tonight. Fully expect the Sacramento Kings win this evening against the Washington Wizards that are absolutely plagued with injuries. Of course, they still have Bradley Beal, but no John Wall for the remainder of the season. They traded away Otto Porter, so this Washington Wizards team is looking towards the draft, looking towards next season, and probably has little to no interest in actually winning. This is a game where I don't think the Kings can come in and coast and get the win. They're going to still have to take their opponents seriously because there are pieces on this Wizards team that are threatening, and they're not horrific by any means. I mean, they're not a good team, 27-39 overall, but you're not that much better than them. Even though you're over 500 in the Western Conference, you have 33 wins to their 27. You're not leagues above them like maybe the Warriors are, maybe the Nuggets are, or even the Milwaukee Bucks or Toronto Raptors. You have to take this team seriously. I would like to see the Kings come out of the gate and immediately step on their throats, get similar games that they got. Now, I don't expect 30-point nights consistently from De'Aaron Fox, and that's not what I'm asking for whatsoever. But if De'Aaron Fox is up as one of the scoring leaders for a Kings team in wins and in big moments, he is stepping up, especially offensively. I am very, very pleased with that. I'm looking for a bounce back game for Buddy Hield, maybe a more efficient shooting night. And let's see if the Kings can try and put this game away quickly so that they will be somewhat well rested, so they don't have to play 35 to 38 minutes a night for their starters, so that they can get as fresh of legs as possible for their game on Thursday against the Boston Celtics. That'll be game one of a doubleheader, a very tough doubleheader between the Celtics and the Philadelphia 76ers, even though they will have 2 days off between or before those two games. You want to be as well rested as possible going into that Celtics game, which I think is the most winnable out of those two in Boston and in Philadelphia. The Kings should win this game here, and they have to win this game here. They have to win the majority of their games from here on out, but you know, you've heard me talk about that already. Free agency. One of my favorite times of the year, one of my favorite things about the NBA, free agency has become just a hub for drama every single year, and that makes people like me that love the NBA and talk about the NBA year-round as happy as can be. And this is a big free agency year for the Sacramento Kings. Going into this year, one of the wish list items that I had for this Kings team was make yourself more of a free agency destination by proving that you have a young core, building something to where maybe a veteran or two, a good piece or two would see that and go, you know what, I could be the missing piece that they need. I can help lead that team to the playoffs, and they have a good young thing going, and I want to be a part of it. And I think the Kings have done everything they can this year, short of making the playoffs, to do that. Now, if they do make the playoffs, I think they have as great, as shiny, as golden of a resume that the Sacramento Kings are ever going to have. It's Sacramento. It's not the massive free agency destination on the planet. Everybody knows that. Players know that. Agents know that. We know that here in Sacramento. That's not surprising to any one of us. However, if you can get a player, one player, that's all it takes, to see Fox, Buddy, Bogey, Bagley, now Harrison Barnes, and say, I want to be a part of that, that could open the floodgates for success for this team in the future and for maybe another player or two to come even after that in years down the road. If I'm the Sacramento Kings, here's what I'm doing. I know I no longer have an advantage that I had last summer, which is a massive amount of cap space when not too many people did. The Kings also got rid of the majority of their cap space for this season by acquiring Harrison Barnes. That's something I'm totally okay with. And by the way, I'm ready right now to offer Harrison Barnes a contract extension. If he wants to take that $25 million payday next year and just sign that and take that player option and stay on for one more year, you know what? I don't blame him for that because it's $25 million. However, if I'm the Sacramento Kings, I'm trying to find a way to sign him to 4 years, $80 million. $10 million or $20 million a year for over the next 4 years. He can have it. The way he plays defense, the way he stretches the floor, I think he's going to be a great piece for this team going forward. And if you lock him down, you have your 3-4 rotation basically solidified. A lot of people are asking me, though, what about the 5 spot? As of right now, and again, I have been one of the few people that has defended Willie Cauley-Stein throughout the majority of the season. I think he's having a better year than people give him credit for. I think people expect him to be a player that, quite frankly, he is not. Now, that's not an excuse for a lot of Kings fans, and I understand that. I don't think the Sacramento Kings are re-signing Willie Cauley-Stein. Certainly not for the number that he wants. And if Willie Cauley-Stein re-signs here, he has to know, his agent will know, everybody on the planet will know that he is signing here to be a bench player going forward. His spot belongs to Marvin Bagley or Harry Giles. It's going to be taken from him. And he knows that. He has to know that. And I think he does. To me, the writing is on the wall that Willie Cauley-Stein is on the way out. Another team will pay him, take a chance on an athletic big who still has a boatload of talent. It's just the consistency that is the major question mark with him. But some team is going to take a flyer. I don't think it's going to be the Sacramento Kings. So who do they bring in to replace him? The cop-out answer is Nikola Vucevic. Everybody knows that Vlade loves his European players. Vucevic is a European big who rebounds, a good post player, also can space the floor, has gotten better with his three-point shot. I like the idea. He doesn't necessarily fit what you try to do, which is push the tempo and run up and down the floor. But my question is, if the Kings go out and get a player like Vucevic, does Marvin Bagley start at the 4, which means you move Harrison Barnes to the 3? I'm 100% okay with that. But Vucevic doesn't necessarily fit the fast-paced offensive style that the Kings have. Now, that doesn't mean he's incapable of being effective still with that unit and with that lineup. You don't need all 5 guys to run the floor full speed. If Marvin Bagley's out there, he essentially assumes the role of Willie Cauley-Stein, which is running the floor hard, catching lobs, being athletic, and getting up and down the floor quickly. Vucevic would then inherit the role of Nemanja Bjelica from the start of this season. Not the fastest guy to get up and down the floor, but can also space the floor, and he's a 10 times better rebounder than Bjelica and Willie Cauley-Stein combined. So I like that idea, and the Kings would probably have to pay close to max money to get him here, and I'm not thrilled by that, but I'm okay with it. But if I'm the Kings, and here's my answer to most of the people that have been reaching out to me asking what I would do. And let me preface this by saying I don't believe that they would sign here or that the Kings would be their first choice. But if I'm the Kings, I'm throwing all my money at Klay Thompson, or I'm throwing all my money at Tobias Harris. I don't give a damn if they say no. If they decide not to come here, you know what? Okay. What's the worst thing to happen? Your ego gets bruised a little bit. You get reminded that you're not LA or not Chicago or not Philadelphia. Tobias Harris has had a phenomenal year. Now, I fully expect him to stay with Philadelphia and for them to get a deal done there. Klay Thompson, we all know about him. Backcourt, floor spacer, good defender, shoots threes. Especially if Kevin Durant leaves, I see no way that he leaves Golden State. I think he'd be a fool to leave the Warriors. But if the Kings refuse to throw their name into those hats just because they're the Kings and they don't think they have a shot, then they're never going to have a shot. They're never going to be part of the game. They're just going to still be the Kings from Sacramento that are just going to try and make it with a core that they build through the draft, which, by the way, they don't have a draft pick. To me, it's a no-brainer. You know what Klay Thompson is. You know what he brings. You know how valuable he can be, and he fits what you're trying to do here. Max money. Here's the contract. Call his agent. Say, we're ready to offer him a max contract. We would love to meet with him. If they say no, they say no. Same thing with Tobias Harris. We want to throw max money at Tobias Harris. We would love to meet with him. Maybe they come to Sacramento. You bring De'Aaron Fox in. You bring Vlade in. Well, Vlade would obviously be a part of it. You bring Dave Yeager in and try and woo him. You never know what can happen. Klay Thompson is very aware of the main draw of Sacramento as a player other than the young core, and that's the fan base, how loud it gets here. He's played in it plenty of times. If he doesn't respect it, nobody will. Again, I think he would be a fool to leave Golden State. I don't believe that he will leave Golden State, but that's not a reason for the Kings not to be involved. Do you agree with me, or do you think that's a waste of time? You tell me. Again, I don't see any con whatsoever to the Kings not throwing out that kind of money at big-name players. Now, you could come back at me and say, well, I've heard you say you don't want to be in the Kevin Durant sweepstakes because you know there's no chance. I mean, you could throw max money at Kevin Durant, too, if you want. We all know that's never going to happen. To me, Tobias Harris and Klay Thompson are realistic. Kevin Durant is not. But all 30 teams are interested in having Kevin Durant on their roster, and if they say they're not, they're lying. Now, there's one guy for sure that I know that I don't want the Kings to throw money at and have on their roster, and that's DeMarcus Cousins. With the win in New York, the Kings are now 33 and 32 on the season. 33 wins matches the most they ever had with DMC. Now, I tweeted out that stat was a fact, not a shot. I then followed it up with another fact that many interpreted as a shot. And you know what? Maybe it is. But it also is a fact that the Kings with this young core are better off than a superstar with an attitude. Now, I know there are DeMarcus Cousins fans that listen to this podcast. You know what? I'm a fan of DeMarcus Cousins, the player, too. But DMC did not work here in Sacramento, and he has yet to prove in his entire career that he's capable of leading a team and being a number one guy on a team and being successful. The dude hasn't even made it to the playoffs yet. Now, he's going to with the Warriors this year, and he's going to win a ring, and he'll probably get paid this summer, and that's fantastic. And you know what? I'm rooting for him completely, especially after the injury that he's coming back from. But there are two teams that I don't want him to sign for. That's the Los Angeles Lakers and the Sacramento Kings. Everybody else, go for it. Have at it, DeMarcus, and I hope he has a fantastic career and remains healthy and is successful. But if DeMarcus Cousins came here to Sacramento, I think he'd take this franchise a huge step back. Because he would want to be the number one guy again. He would want to rule the roost, and that's just not the case here. The roosters of this chicken coop here in Sacramento are De'Aaron Fox and Marvin Bagley going forward. DeMarcus Cousins, I think, would potentially hurt that. Actually, I know he would hurt that. And this is coming from someone who spent a lot of time in the locker room around him, seeing his antics, seeing his attitude. And again, his attitude is what makes him as dominant as he is. And, you know, I don't have a problem with him having that attitude because a lot of players have attitude like he does. It's fine. I just don't think it would work here. I think it would be bad for the Kings to even think about that. So any fan that wants DeMarcus Cousins, you can try and convince me and feel free to at @MattGeorgeKHDK on Twitter or on email mgeorge@sacklocalmedia.com. But if I'm the Kings, I'm avoiding DeMarcus Cousins like the plague. We had our chance with you. It didn't work. We're thankful for you. Statistically, you're the greatest Sacramento King of all time. But it didn't work. You never won more than 33 games, and we're winning more games now with a bunch of kids than we ever did with you. Sorry. That's the writing on the wall. That's the fact. I'd rather them throw money at Clay. I'd rather them throw money at Tobias. And I'd rather them sign Nikola Vucevic before they get DeMarcus Cousins back. Fans Only Podcast is hopefully coming this Friday. If not, it'll be here early next week. I'm starting the interviews with the fans that I have selected here very, very shortly. I'm really excited to bring you another episode of the Fans Only Podcast. I know everybody enjoys it. They give us great numbers all the time here on the podcast, and I always think it's great for you to hear from your fellow fan, their stories, and maybe you can relate to them or their thoughts on this Kings team overall. I've said it a million times, this is not just my platform to speak Kings and talk Kings and share my opinion. This is also a platform to create Kings conversation and for you to be involved in the conversation and share your opinions as well. So, Fans Only Podcast coming very, very soon. Be sure to stay tuned for that. If you want to get involved in the free agency conversation that I just had, respond to anything that I said, please do on Twitter at @MattGeorgeKHDK, over email also mgeorge@sacklocalmedia.com. And I also want to throw this question out there. I threw it out on Twitter earlier this morning. Out of the three teams that are currently tied in the 6th, 7th, and 8th seed, the Utah Jazz, the Los Angeles Clippers, and the San Antonio Spurs, which team out of the three do you think is the target for the Kings to try and catch? Remember, the Kings were swept by the Clippers. They have no more games against them, but they do have games in San Antonio and in Utah. Look at the schedules. Look at the Kings. Look at their success. Look at how their team is built. And you tell me. Who do you think is the most likely target for the Kings to try and catch and steal the 8th seed from? Get involved in the conversation right now. I look forward to those responses. Again, reach me on Twitter at @MattGeorgeKHDK or email me mgeorge@sacklocalmedia.com. I'll share some of those answers and some of those conversations on tomorrow's podcast, and we'll also recap the hopeful Kings win. It should be a Kings win over the Washington Wizards tonight. Until tomorrow, my name is Matt George. Thank you so much for listening to the Locked On Kings podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.